read 5-page long poems and that kind of thing. You know, keep them short enough-ish. All right. So to start the open mic, can we please have Philip Spillane?
So I was talking to a friend online, and she made some beautiful arm warmers, you know, and they went all up her, like they're huge, they look so comfortable. And she tried a new technique, and she was telling me how she made them, and she said they feel like dragon scales. And as soon as she said that, it kind of triggered the poem in my head, and I wrote it down and I answered it back. And I love that feeling when you just have a poem sparked inside your head. So I'm just going to read that out tonight. Come on, excuse me. Dragons aren't hatched from eggs. They are cocheted by witches that interlock dreads of various ancestors past. Together, tree will interwoven a chest, hands, claws, arms, legs, eyes, jaws, a heart. Then they'll sing the lullaby, as night suns awaken spirits that live in the dark, although dragons are the ones that breed light. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. And now we have Sarah Raphael Garcia.
So this is my second visit to Cork. The first visit was a few years ago, and I didn't have the pleasure of reading here. But one of the reasons I came to Cork is because my father introduced me to Ireland when I was a child through a newspaper article. He was a labor worker from Mexico in the United States. And I always attribute my parents and their pilgrimage from Mexico to the United States for the life that I get to live, and I get to travel the world that they didn't have the opportunity to have. And he said, if you're going to marry a white guy, make sure it's an Irishman.
Plenty of Irish women would try and persuade you.
Yeah, I know. I've caught up with history. but this one goes to my father, Rafael Castillo Garcia, and my ancestors. Chicana queen, which, does everybody know what Chicana means?
Chicana women.
Chicana, it's Mexican American women that fight for social justice in the United States, usually first generation. And if you don't know what chingona means, it means badass woman. Okay. That's also the thing. Chicana queen. Yo tengo voz, voice. I come from an evolving path of extraordinary nations. They cultivated our lands together, from the migrant trail to blood on our streets. They have fought for our identity, from our native tongue to daily freedom. Their perseverance has resurrected my existence. My Mexican culture is a collection of renowned historical landmarks. I am an exhibit of time. Azteca, Mexicana, American, Chicana, Reina. Pero primero, I was woman. I have a voice, voz. From my annual pilgrimages to California, from Texas, from the migrant fields of Texas to Las Playas de Oro de Califas, two fertile valleys birthing a chingona brown artist. Curse me or plead to me, better yet pray to me, because I am your divinity. But I will not let you forget. Soy mujer primero. I am woman first. I am an Aztec goddess. I am a bronze deity, stronger than the rocks beneath your feet, as mortal as Frida and the symbolic calla lily. Un sensualillo de Alcatraz, igniting in love and death. The seventh day of rest is the day you praise me. It's the day I work the hardest to proclaim my identity, where I shout beyond the echoes of my past, because I am present. Presente. Yo tengo voice. If you deny it, it will get louder, guiding you to hear it, dando fuerza to own yours. Soy mujer, woman. My hand carries the tone of our community. Gracias a los antepasados. My breath exhales the existence of your tomorrow. And today, I choose to give life eternity. Soy mujer. I am a Chicana queen. Ahora, dame las gracias. Thank me. For I have given you a reason to get off your knees, rise before me, fight beside me, lead with pride. You gave me a voice. Voz. I am woman, mujer. You made me. Paso Kamatni, your Chicana queen.
Thank you, Sarah. And next up, we'll have Seamus Harrington.
I'm Trojan. Around this time of the year, night classes start. Doesn't always happen, but cutbacks. But it must run. We can't withdraw it now. You can drop your arched eyebrows. It's expected. Enrollments are up. We must toe the line. They've got a foot in the door. See the prospectus, subject to demand. A run on class materials? Rubbish. We'd be sued without a leg to stand on. Hand clapping and footstool step-ups in plimsolls were good enough once. Now we must put them all through their paces. We know the new floor permits only soft soles. There's a footnote here about that. Yes, we can't walk away or be out of step, but think of the cost. If you were a parent of centipede twins, who'd foot the bill? The board chairman will hear about this, I say. He's a weekly pedicuree, well known for his stance on PE and ability to think on his feet. Furthermore, his wife is a podiatrist, chief observer for the three-legged race and founding chair of the Alumni Association of Millipedes.
Thanks, Seamus. And now we will have the man that is going to bring us the International Poetry Festival, Patrick Cotter.
D.W. Griffiths was a genius director. Era. His best work is probably a film called Intolerance, which is ironic because he's most famous for a movie called First Nation, which incited riots throughout the United States by the African American community because of its despicable portrayal of stereotypes and also its celebration of the origins of Ku Klux Klan. So this is a poem called Mistaken for D.W. Griffith. Sliding on ice is like dancing with your body still. A thrill I learnt at the Mobile Snowmen's convention. Once we were mistaken for the KKK, even though our headgear is not pointed and we wielded weird posies of holly and not torches aflame. We were cheered by yokels in southern towns who had never seen snow range outside their icebox. We sang Strange Fruit right back at them in a cappella chorus. We marshalled the full vocal persuasion, many of us being women, and beneath our strange white gowns, Asian, African, or red-haired Catholic. Our noses were painted orange and our eyes circled by thick, drawn-on spectacles. Some of our poses are so good, dogs piss against us, and crows try to pluck our spindly fingers for nesting. otherwise respectable schoolboys try to roll us down the hill. Primary qualification for joining is a once frozen, now melted heart. Next year, I hear, we'll be convening on a nudist beach in Tenerife, be pelted by the wind in our see-through costumes. The lizards will dart amongst us for cover, or bask in the sun on our shoulders. We'll be that still, or slide on boards in the surf. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. And next we have Benjamin Burns.
When you are three and attend a busy preschool and have very little time to yourself, it can become necessary on a cold day in January to sit huddled between the trunks of two small trees in the dim light, scarf wrapped high around your neck, staring meditatively at the soft ground littered with pine needles while your peers bustle noisily about, gathering oneself before intention strikes.
Now I have a little problem with this name. Aldridge.
This is in response to flood. This is Floodgate. My dog won't go out. It's rained steadily for 2 days straight, and the month before. Record-breaking Gene Kelly rain. I venture forth, lacklustered, Gore-Texed and booted. I enter dry-eyed and wet-faced into a watery desert. The arc of my gait lends a radiating tide dissolving boundaries of the road and the verge. I press forward towards the river. Water gloats about my pointlessly rainproof feet. Reaching the old stone bridge, I find its eyes are filled.
Dylan, next please. I'd say
yeah, I do.
What is it?
Connell.
Dylan Connell.
Yeah. The rumor goes that my great-grandfather killed a British man, so I had to flee to America, and it was changed from O'Connell to Connell. Anyways, this one I wrote on the road back from Dublin. It's entitled Just for Fun or Self-Deprecation. A dead computer and a lifeless phone, the Irish countryside streams by him as he composes the new poem. Our sun has set, we're grumbling, wet, and we groan. If I were deep, I'd take the opportunity to speak with sweet, well-spoken tones. But oh hell, I'm just a drone, a senseless printed surface straggler wandering alone. Most sing in the shower, I just moan with the drone of a broom and an echo. Looked out at the spider, told it catch me, and it let go. My fashion isn't swag or even retro. Choosing one word to describe me, I'd say yes, rather forgetful. Bulldog, not a pit bull. Pulled off into the ditch, full of uneventful mental mistakes. Knows he should stop reading, but hit the gas and not the brakes. Hey yo, I'm sorry for your sakes. He couldn't shoot a roll of bloopers without thousands of mistakes. He even kissed fate, and she told him try free will. Found some snakes, then took hundreds of placebos, trying to party on free pills. Okay, sorry for the cheap thrills. I was just giving the reminder that you don't always need a screen to view. So in conclusion, thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Mary, oh, she was next. She's there ready. Yeah. Mary O'Connell.
This is called Her Tired Wings, and it's, I wrote it for Maram Al-Masri, who is a Syrian poet who visited Cork on a number of occasions. Bells of a European capital wake her from ragged dreams that show again buildings that fall to rubble in her native land. Haze of the desert on her skin, raven strands curl about her throat, a sinewy frame that moves with languid grace. She traces the pain of those afraid to speak, women locked in by men they tried to love. Lines of her own desire smolder on the page. Endless airports, always the half-filled case, no chance to drop the social smile, escape the well-meant hospitality when the reading's done. Puzzled by banter in a non-familiar tongue, she's resigned to be the magnet that draws them to her beauty and her words. Bedazzled, her admirers never guess that when she's called upon to share her gift, fly off to yet another distant shore, her tired wings beat out her weariness. She longs for stillness, for a place where she might sink into a fold of peace. Oh.
Next, we'll have Tatiana.
So I wrote this after learning about the artist Artemisia Genaleschi in my art history class in high school. So this is called Eden's Temptation. The eyes hold a thousand secrets, but looking at yours, can you keep it? There is nothing more sacred than being quiet, complacent. To sit on a pedestal, adorned and showered with grace, one lie, one secret, brings you down, topples your empire. They call you Jezebel as you fall. Oh, beautiful Susanna, you sullied your fate behind your locked rose and garden gates. Your perceived arrogance spurned them on like prophets they once heeded your call. Somehow, they now claim they thought they saw through it all behind your stately garden wall.
Thank you, Tatiana. And now we'll have Charles Clark, please.
Might be considered either a month late or 11 months early. But it's actually about something else. Hot topic. Before the end of the world, as once found in the liturgy, before Advent and long before spring, dog violets are in blossom in the garden, flagging Christmas. No need for holly arriving in our warming country.
Thank you, Charles. And now we have Erica, please. I am short.
So I'm one of the people from St. Mary College, and throughout my time here I've been quoting either things that people have said to us or things that we have said. So these may be very out of context and very weird, but I'm just going to read them.
Silence.
You could trap to Sinatra. I used to feel, now I'm just numb. Did you say neck party? Because I'm there. Young man, you are a Spanish tramp. Who needs highlight when you're gay? Oh! I saw that scene from Fight Club. All I need is a rubber band and I'm good. Cannibalism and maggots are my pet peeves. Goodbye, fuckboy. No, they just kind of fucked up because they were $5. We have to do it. Oh, we have to do it now before our lipstick wears off. Oh, it's in the shape of a shape. Holy aioli. Are you going to cut that out anytime soon? Because you're really starting to get on my nerves. My name is Esther. Woo! Are you going to finish that fried rice? Because I'm ready for my fifth meal. Look, this egg pooped out smaller eggs. I'm working the system of oppression. You don't just get a letter in the mail saying, hey, you're gay. I am drawn to less asshole-y artists.
Who said that? I don't know how to fit
Castro. Focus on the beard. It's like a bobbit for your face. Oh, the frog people. Or maybe I'm thinking of monks. Last one. Whoa, that's like some national treasure shit. Thank you.
I like it.
I did too. It's a shape for a shape, I guess. Patricia Waltz, please.
Thank you, Rose. This is entertainment. Blown in the face an infinity of times, cursing those blessing you in the dead of night, finally crunching the numbers to inform my imbecility. Evergreen complaining over lost socialization. Getting used to reprisal, bookish massacre, peacefully fraternized with common blood. Blunt force trauma threatened with embarrassment, representing a higher order massacred. Grinding down on sympathy, no surprises there. A traitor's kiss seals a practical love. Poison over coffee, a now common threat. Salacious dreams neglected for regales with stupidity. Love in real time, lost in snatched moments. Highbrow vaccinated against hard communication. Waiting inside for conversation, blocking bleating cold. Reciting B's death song too prematurely. Messy investigations over hope, dreams abiding. Signposted damnation hardly cuts the pace. Giving out about time spent in misery. The others worse off get a thunderous inertion. Quietly hospitalized, cigarette thirst screamed, studious anxiety knocks against release. Singing in the dead of dawn by the riverside, not caring about the cold, one less problem to comprehend. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And now we will have our five-word champ, Abby.
So we went to Moore a few days ago to see the coast of Moore, and it was honestly one of the most magical experiences of my life. And just looking around, seeing so many beautifully, almost haunted things, I made a list of things to see in Moore, and so it's kind of a poem, kind of not. So here we go. Things to see in Moore. Hidden beaches between flat green, glass patios with brightly colored frames, sea-chipped rocks and all the sky in the world. Haunted places, remembered castles, rebirthed by magic and the sound of 32 pitter-pattering feet. Houses that look like board game pieces among the homes made of the land. The sun shines in Doolin down in the cradle of the Earth's hands. Where cursed forgotten houses hold the history of open green fields where people died from the gnawing of their stomachs and babies were born amidst the mist of the Atlantic.
Lonely, lovely houses with ghostly crawl spaces. Faceless demons watch over you, making sure that you don't overstay your welcome. This is a haunted place. At night, the ghosts sweep and mop the floorboards, and the maidens knead bread. Children play with twigs and sticks, and the rest of them are dead. The sheep and horses graze the land on the backs of winter's breeze, and in the darkness, island steals the heart of you and me. Caves a mile deep, bushes dotted with berries black, rest upon the sticks that stick back. Such a beautiful haunting, trees bare of leaf, but full of dark magic. This land is rich to be reaped.
We're just all going to have to come back. Next we'll have John Tangney, please.
Ebbs and flows. The habits of birds draw me from the page. They preen and strut in coquettish ways or look nervously around, perched on my wall, as if to steal worms from my lawn, except I live in the city on a height, overlooking the river that moves and breathes, that hurries over stones, its banks undressed, their hair lank, their pallor brown. At times it swells and stands as still as a pond, the tide and stream in a clinch, till one submits to the other's will, knowing that later it will turn, that victory is defeat, and there's power in retreat, becoming momentum for forces already your own. And who you were was waiting for that bird or that stream, seen or felt, to bring you somewhere completely else, by conveyance or drowning, enchanted by music killed with a bill, on marshy expanses where men aren't found, except on Sunday a few souls in boots go digging for bait, and once they discovered remains of a battle, chipped bones and dented old metal helms from the Middle Age, now carbon dated, sealed in a case, behind a glass like that which seals the wind beyond the walls that I dwell within. Overlooking a city I used to curse, intending to leave it without looking back. But at that time I was young and shallow, had forgotten less and learned much less about places and things, though the same brown fen sleeps under all of them. A tired mother at the end of the day, the river and birds are lines on her face, or the moods that sit for a time on her heart. Her faraway look that makes you think she has other things on her mind than you, and harbors desires you can't be told, without losing a world and gaining a soul, with knowledge that's rarely found in books.
Oh. Thank you very much, John. Next we will have Anna Spehar.
This is me first time reading in front of so many people and I'm very nervous. I came to Ireland about 2 years ago and I wrote this to express how I feel today. Ireland. In your arms you took me, without a question. You offered me a home. Though far away from my land, you never let me feel alone. You, Ireland, you gave me a shelter when I didn't know where to go, when I felt lost. Ireland, you were here when I needed you the most. With your people friendly, people kind all around, I knew I would stay here forever, on your ground. Ireland, you gave me a new life, a new start. You healed me when I was falling apart. I love your clouds, I love your rain. And although for that people call me insane, I don't care. I love your cold air, I love your wind through my hair. Ireland, you took me as your own. Now I belong to you, to every bone.
You're ours now.
And next we'll have Kieran Raftery, please. Raftery, sorry Kieran. I can't read, obviously.
Disco dancing does wonders for the soul.
The beat doesn't care if you're feeling half or whole, doesn't stare at you as if you stole, and naturally makes you feel more young instead of old, warm rather than cold, more glad than bold, and this tune has you truly sold. And unbeknownst to you, they can see it in your face. You know you're in exactly the right place the moment deja vu descends from space. Eyes calmly closed, wide smile on face, weighing with an indifferent, who gives a shit kind of tempo, and a comic book look of curious grace. Together we're a mystic shining lake. Tongue in cheek, for these few minutes and moves we've waited all week. Slaving away with the 9-to-5 routine, with the odd thrown in happy streak, just a groove. And to feel that sense of release of relief. No need for acid, no need for the Dutch gold or the green. We're all surprisingly well able to reach this state of consciousness absolutely clean. And that's all well and good, but there is the taking part. The full on shaking, the making of art, and the always fed dread of being left out. Feeling a familiar tingle, the jaws jingle, no doubt. I'm left bereft to hear the wasted words and the sheer amount to leave my mouth. Everything was fine up until the ever generous offer of yet another half glass of the rarest wine, and at that point time seemed to take on a different meaning. The lights flick and it clicks, you're no longer here, happy out gleaming. Your soul drove off a while ago, drifted down the road, flipped a ditch, and it's now upside down steaming. But there's still the dance. Your trusted comrade reminds you with a funny complexion of justified fear of closing. Picking up where you left off, except this time your bones even feel the tune. Never alone with these people like you, no words need speaking at this hour. We catch up through dance. We match up and get to know each other better through dance. The modern love letter is dance. It's through this fluid flow that we blow off all that steam. And if we don't dance, where does it go? Thank you.
This is one move, screwing the light bulb. Now we'll have Niall Harriott, please.
Frank O'Connor translated from the Irish Song of the Hermit, and it was written, nobody knows by who, a few hundred years before the Norman invasion. And I took the liberty of changing a few little bits and pieces around in it. Sorry, Frank, I can see his ectoplasm hovering like that. And I added a couple of stanzas at the end just for devilment. Song of the Hermit. Can I read this? Good. Song of the Hermit. A hidden hut, a holly tree, are my roof. Nearby, a mighty oak keeps me winterproof. A clear rock-lined tobarine offers healthy drink. And in spring, a bed of cresses grows by its brink. A herd of goats, friendly neighbors, nestling near. Wild boar roam. A brood of badgers, grazing deer. To what feast the woods invite me, all about? There are blackberries and streams with crayfish and trout. A clutch of birds' eggs, mushrooms, salmon are my meat. Frochen, mint and honeycomb for a treat. All one could ask for comfort, round me grows. There are hips and haws, wild strawberries, nuts and sloes. When summer spreads its mantle, what a sight. Herbs and wild garlic, juicy, bright. Jaunty redbreasts briskly forage in each bush. Round my hut swoop and dart, swallow thrush. I pick my fruit from a sunny glade for poaching and fill my pockets from hazel trees, dapple green. From sea and lake, gulls and herons flapping in. In the purple upland heather rises partridge hen. In late summer's hazy, lazy days, cattle low through the grassy glades, undriven, tranquil, slow. Black bees, bumblebees, music makers buzz and hum. Geese honk over, duck in autumn. See them come. Through mossy boughs whispers the wind. Skies still blue. Foxes call, stream water falling, calling too. And the last couple of verses. Most of the year I am sober and celibate. Seasonal midpoints I and my lady friend celebrate. Some harmer to this. She has a rake of children, not all from her husband's line. He and I look alike, so he knows not one or two are mine. Thanks. Sinéad.
Thank you, Niall. Niall Harriet. I said your name wrong as well. There you go.
What'd you call him?
Shoot me.
Harriet. Paul gave me the nod. There we go. Anyway, excuse me. I just get on with it. Ali Bracken.
I don't kill people. I will sleep beneath Ben Bulbin with Yeats and the Noble Six, and curse the British Army, and curse the Israeli Army, and curse the US Army, and curse the Irish Army as they appear on the front pages of the Times to remind us that they are still here and militarized. Still here, except this time they are moving into the hands of businessmen. This time they'll help all the companies in Ireland that do not make the whole weapon, but make parts of the whole. This time we will ship various pieces of plastic abroad under the bad faith that we do not know what they will be used for. I have never killed another, yet why do I feel so much as if I have? Why do I feel as though there is not blood on my hands alone, but in every meal I eat and every secret I seal?
Thank you, Ali. And now we have Max Creeple, please.
A nice country song on my altar harp from the heat late, so I have to default. That was in the tragic. There's a stark wind in Kinvara, and the sea breathes through the sky, and the purple rain of Connemara sleeps across the bay tonight. As I lift that cold white chapel, a storm weighed down my heart. As I lift you there in the silence, alone and apart. And this is for Limpsesse and Good Friday. Once in the west a day was marked, many's the match was hatched after mass, and many's the glad eye was cast on heavenly ones as tender and pale as the hawthorn bloom. And many's the silent tear was siphoned away and hidden within the inner pocket, and baled out again and brewed once more in battered aluminum teapots were won, blackened on log or hot sod. Many's the bramager that clung to the altar, that built every word of the glorious syllable, enunciating in her high cantata, give you chapter and verse with the weather eye out for slovenly types who might have the temerity to look her in the eye. Many's the fragile face that flickered with smiles of passing clouds, that twitched to kiss his little friend on the lead and fixed his red paisley bandana. Many's the mother that thumped in her craw and begged that the Lord would save her from all or more of the dull loss, that wears for today her Sunday best, a necklace of roses and violet cuffs. Many's the subtext that waits in the wings and quietly narrates the truth therein. And then each child on their own, a universe alone, prays hard to their own God and keeps their eyes down. And then all will be calm once in the West. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. And can we have John Tynan, please?
Is, I don't know if you know a coffee shop called Alchemy.
Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'd give up. Yeah, so just a few hours, or a bit of time spent there, so. Voice shrill in lively coffee crowd, subsides to meaningless chatter, conscious now of loud. Macchiato mellow, cappuccino clouds. Book speckled by the clock of dusty time, punctuating walls in linting lines. Hiss, steam, bang, bang, bang! Haley's Ethiopian beans ground. Dyed blonde waitress swaying to sonorous sax sounds. Supine and soft sofa, thoughts drifting away. Aroma wisps aloft.
Thank you, John. And now we have Shauna Lee Lynch.
Thanks very much. This is about working in customer service. Shout out Jim Pickard because he did a great customer service call with us. Inspired this to no extent, but it's about working in a call centre in customer service. Brazenness and bravery transpire very easily over the wires that carry customers' complaints to me. I am supposed to reply politely with, "I am terribly sorry, sir." I don't. I am not sorry, nor are you a knight. I would imagine since you were starting a fight with me, a stranger on minimum wage, I did not cause your rage. Yet here we are, you were screaming at me. "Can I have your name, please?" "No, I'm not giving you my personal information." "I was trying to help. I'm not asking you for the good of my health. I'm just counting down the minutes until my next cigarette, as this fluorescently lit pen has me chained to this desk with a wire and headset and makes me want to chain smoke like a 1950s French philosopher, blasé with your petty consumerist temper. I fix my beret and return to business. Let's get back to your problem, sir." He loses it in a flurry of profanities. I hear a steam coming out of his ears, smudging the screen of his smartphone. Some part of me is glad. It's a slight amusement splintering the boredom, a future anecdote to share around the lackluster canteen as my colleagues eat their repetitive convenient lunches, injecting a laugh to the chewing of instant noodles. He is one of many in an army of unnecessary, waging wars with poor young ones on calls. He did not know I am a sergeant with badges of sarcasm and indifference. "Why do you want my personal information?" "To look at your account, I obviously need your information." "Does this bozo think I'm going to look him up? Find him on Facebook, comment under a picture from his 2014 package holiday in Port Ventura of him smiling with his kids on the mini golf course with their pastel polo shirts and plastic faces. Your father called me a stupid bitch today, kiddies. XOXO, smiley face emoji." "Do you think I'll go look for a picture of your Friday nights out in some corner of a club with a beautiful girl radiating a copper fake tan hum in a bodycon dress that you probably harassed into this pic to share amongst your mates? I doubt she was your date, judging by the look on her face, or that could just be her regimentally drawn on eyebrows. They almost distract from your hideous shiny purple shirt and greasy face, a set dressed of sweat, disco lights, and half-drank Jaeger bombs behind you. I'm not normally this mean. I swear I am a nice person, but my heart breaks every time I answer this phone to a bully's conniption. I'm only 7 hours into a 12-hour shift. You have made me into a sea witch. With a trident tongue, you the winchy princess. I hope you find a happily ever after, but it certainly won't be from this encounter. I'm already in hell and I'll bring you down with me. Maybe Satan will help you, because I'm not going to. You had the option, sir, to lighten my load, restore my fate, the human soul, but no, you chose your fate. Oh, I almost forgot. Have a nice day."
Thank you. I suppose I'm suffering with emotions and still probably do some. I wrote this a couple of years ago, but it's just about the way sometimes emotions can get us carried away. Emotions, like spokes in a wheel, can send you into a dizzying wheel. The faster they spin, the more you're sucked in. The gut churns, nervous burns. Reason plays no role. You've lost control. Wish you could go back to the beginning. There's no ending. Wish you could go back to the beginning. Floods of tears come like rain. Release from life's tortuous pain.
Thank you. And now we'll have Ciarán McCarty, please.
It's grand, it was said. But somebody who tells you that things are grand when things aren't grand is less a friend to you than a hard taskmaster telling you to run, jump, hide. Equating no stance with no action, keeping the wrath of your rage at bay like a sedated lion. Some shallow stimulation and a taut belief in patience. Someone has you waiting, your hot passion latent. You are all statement and phantom follow-up, supping on the patience cup between entitled comment. Exercise the right you feel to pass harsh judgment granted by your public appeal and inflated position from where you claim expertise on that which you've never experienced. And discuss the condition of the lives of those you've never met. Not from your lonely wooden tower, a nesting bird high on power. Spitting fire to cast in stone social norms, dissension will not be listened to. We'll hear you out in smiling silence and christen you violent, volatile, liable. Rinse your ideals in a salad spinner, probe your fears, shouldn't you look thinner? Maybe have this for dinner, as seen here eaten by insert image any posing public winner. A bland broth bleaching ideas. And don't you think we don't see your pop-up soup kitchens, spreading rigor mortis across the free minds of the future, one taste of tempting warmth at a time. An idea that would have saved the lives of millions was edited out of your establishment press. But at least your dream will last the night. If nothing changes, we'll be all right, trading digits to keep old paper money flowing through old paper moneyed hands. Those of us with crane necks see you float above us. As we go and ask the yes machine if there's enough yeses left for me to keep saying yes, or am I gonna have to tell somebody no, somebody I know, and somebody you ain't gonna like it. Could be me, my wife or kid. The backbone of my family gets a rattle off reality. You'll eat when we remove our block from the sun and drink when we turn your taps back on. It's you to whom I call all to fight, you who controls the traffic lights. I can feel your boot on my face. Must I reiterate that anything within that close proximity to my mind will be removed, destroyed, dissolved in fresh water, labeled poisonous, placed in a museum, washed into the past, a contemporary art piece entitled How Not to Be Controlled. You will live to see the tight knot of your lies unfold and give refunds on the lies you've sold and be cast out till you feel the cold and brought back to appreciate warmth. This must happen. It's meant to be by any means necessary.
We're on the revolution.
Remember, Conway, you might lead us a little bit of the way.
It's a poem about telephone poles, and it's called Telephone Poles.
Yes.
40 miles an hour, the line droops till the next hits, a sharp rise, full-bellied, once more. The jaunty rhythm flattens to a blur as we gather speed. Each pole comes quicker than the last, like needles threaded with molten mascara, slack or taut, standing askew, set in the soil by eccentric hands. Each seems like a bishop's reminder that someone once died for us, someone who never had to pass through the tomb roadworks. Crossing roads, trudging up the sides of hills, they slouch like scarecrows, resigned to hosting garrulous birds, reminding us that some still like to hear voices. Thanks.
And now we have Jim Kakar, please.
So I don't know if any of y'all know this, but like homosexuality was legalized in Ireland in 1993.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do.
So yeah.
Some.
I didn't know it till like last week or something. So this is about that kind of. Yeah. Which is what I am.
Serious? Never did.
I was born May 6th, 1992. Homosexuality was legalized in 1993. I guess that means I was born an illegal baby. You know what they say about gays always needing an entrance? The law changed, but people didn't. By the time I'd reached 12, I knew well how to behave. I studied the hand movements of men, steady ships tied down by their hips. When they sat, I watched them sail into the bay of their lap. Whereas mine were pink Barbie boats that zipped around in conversations, gesticulating. When I sat, my hands clasped on my laps, they became a bone china basin held by rubber wrists. Then I turned them into ships. Every morning I went into my bathroom, the boy machine. The dark black bathroom mat, a conveyor belt carrying me past a line of Lynx cans, spraying their perfumed gas from their steel eyes. My hair, combed with Dax wax over and back, until I emerged, glossy, packaged, believable. I befriended boys, the soccer kind, said I supported Arsenal to survive. When really I was watching Desperate Housewives. But I'd deny my love for that show three times before the cock crowed. Their approval was my air. When I turned 16, I felt the word fabulous on my tongue. That sparkling, ridiculous word tasted like a cherry cocktail, and I splashed it around conversations, announcing who I was. I flew a flag, and hilarious girls encircled me protectively, their little gay president. We laughed so hard together, moving as one, wall to wall in the school halls, an untouchable circle.
We have one more reader for you tonight, lads, and it's Bernadette Gallagher.
Grounded in memoriam, the dear friend Breed. Grounded lady, into the clay today. I see your smiling face, on your bike, you cycle to the other side. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette, and thank you everybody for coming out tonight, for taking part in the 5-word challenge, and for a firecracker of an open mic. That was awesome. And most importantly, a very special thank you to Paul and Meehan.